Welcome to the Business Bunker Radio Show, Federation of Small Businesses podcast.
On campusinessradio.co.uk on Tuesday, February the 17th. It's an absolute pleasure now to welcome our next guest into the studio, the absolutely lovely Sue Nelson, Treasurer of the Federation of Small Business for Kent and Medway. Sue, good afternoon. Welcome to the Business Bunker Show. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you. I've already had lots of cakes and biscuits, pancakes,
and tea.
Marvellous, great.
Lovely, and tea, and lovely. Cool. So I want to start off by talking to you about the Federation and the people that you represent. One of my little hobby horses, especially at the moment, as we're coming up to a general election, and this is me saying this, I'm not trying to put words into your mouth. One of the things that has perturbed me as a businessman and an entrepreneur is the amount of all of our political parties seem to be building up towards a bit of an anti-business rhetoric. I'm not very happy about that. And one of the reasons they do that is they get sidetracked by the wrong information. When they talk about things... And we're not going to go into them today, but things like tax evasion and tax avoidance and all those kind of things, they tend to invariably be talking about giant corporations and big businesses. And the reality of the big business world is that big businesses are a vanishingly small part of the economy. I wonder if you could kind of give us a bit of background from your knowledge in the FSB about the power of small businesses.
Well, I mean, I just personally love small businesses. They're definitely the organisations that drive the economy, without a doubt. And just to put it in context, Paul, of the 5.2 million businesses in the UK, 99.3% of the private sector are small businesses.
Yeah, let me tell you that stat again. 99.3% of all businesses are small businesses. Could you give us a definition of micro business and small business?
So an SME, which is a small medium enterprise, the government has a classification for that, and essentially that means anybody that employs less than 250 people.
Right. Okay.
So you know, actually, I think that's quite a big company.
Yeah.
Sometimes.
Sure.
Interestingly, with Kent, we have huge numbers of what they call micro businesses, and the definition of a micro business is somebody who employs up to 9 people.
Right.
So they could be the only employee, or they could have up to 9 people. Now, we have 46,000 of those in Kent.
Wow.
And yet we only have 52,000 businesses in Kent.
Right.
This is private sector businesses. So you can see the huge proportion are just people on their own trying to make a living, trying to employ people.
Absolutely.
That's not big business, and those people aren't tax evaders or whatever you know you want to call them.
Yeah.
These are people really trying to do their best. And if you think of all the people we have on this show, just how many are really trying to do a good job. So micro businesses are a huge part of Kent. We've got some small businesses, we've got about 5,000 of those, and do you know what, of large businesses in the private sector in Kent, we only have 180. So it's completely disproportionate when you read stuff about big business. That is not representative of what's going on out there.
Absolutely. And I happen to know, because it's one of my other businesses.
As usual,
yeah. that the employment statistics and the growth is entirely due to small businesses. In the last 4 years, we've created 2 million new jobs. We now have more than 32 million people employed in the UK. And just for those of you that hang around in the wrong places, less than 5% of the jobs are zero-hour contracts, which means 95% aren't. Those 2 million new jobs have nearly all come from SMEs.
That's always the case, Paul.
Yeah.
You know, and if you listen to all the political parties, I'm absolutely apolitical, but if you listen to all of them, they either think that small business is the devil, or you know, they just totally...
Or irrelevant.
Because, you know, Shell or whatever's more important, or, you know, one of those car phone warehouse or whatever, is far more important, and it's really very, very annoying.
Absolutely, and funnily enough, it's one of the reasons I started this radio programme, this radio show, because anything else I went on, when anybody talked about business, they always deferred to the CBI or, you know, some huge mega corporation as if they were indicative of business. And of course, they're not indicative of business. Those of us that are really in business, i.e. the 99%, are very small organisations, and we have a very different approach to being in business than a big multinational, but by the nature of what we do and how we do it, and the resources with which we have to do it. So I want to kind of come on to that a little bit, if I may, Sue, and ask you about because I know the FSB, as well as representing your members, you do an awful lot of surveys and things like that. One of the great things about the FSB is you do interact with your members on a regular basis, and you really do seek to find out what members want, and try to relay that to government eventually, which is one of the things that you do. But from your point of view, kind of focusing on Kent and Wembley as much as we can, what is the situation with small business at the moment? How optimistic are we? We've been going through a period of growth. The last quarter forecast tailed off a little bit, but we are still growing. We're the only country in Europe that is still doing that. What are you hearing? What's coming back from the grassroots?
I think the important thing about any membership organisation is that you represent the members. It's not my opinion. Mm. You know, it's not your opinion, yeah. Paul. It's the members' opinion. Mm. So the research we do is really important, because we need to know what people are thinking. We need to know what they're struggling with, so that we can lobby government, parliament, the council, you know, planning people, you name it. And so we do a lot of that, and we have to, in order to make sure we're representing them truly. Got some really interesting stats here from the last quarter, so that's just before Christmas, and 62% of this is just small businesses. 62% of small businesses are expecting to grow this year,
right?
Which I think is really good.
Positive.
So confidence is up. And when you look at sort of the stats in 2010, 2011, oh my goodness, it was dire. I mean, it was, you know, people were really, really struggling. Mm. Interestingly, if you look at the different types of sectors, of course, people are optimistically different in different types of sectors. So computer and IT area, they're the most confident and optimistic at the moment. So perhaps they're beginning to take off far more quickly than other people. Yeah. Business services, construction, manufacturing, financial services are all pretty confident. But I'm afraid to say, and I do think this affects Kent quite a bit, the hotel, restaurant, bar sector are still struggling and also not very optimistic. Mm. You know, I think they're just trying to keep the head above water.
Sure.
And we know around the whole of the coast of Kent, and we've got some beautiful towns and cities that people go and visit, that's still hard in those business areas. So they're definitely struggling.
I know from my experience with Scoff and Quaff and the PR that I do for restaurants, restaurants are really struggling lunchtimes. You know, they might be busy on a Friday, Saturday and a Sunday lunchtime, but Monday to Friday, struggling, you know, for lunch especially.
Yes, I think everybody's saying that, you know, we've got more disposable income, or it feels like we have. I don't think that's filtered through quite yet, and people are still being quite
cautious
and careful about how they spend their money, and that does translate into going out for lunch and doing those sorts of things.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
So that's definitely coming through.
We should all do our bit and go and have a business networking lunch.
Should all go and drink wine
and
do
beach.
Things at lunchtime.
Yes.
Yeah, whilst calling into a branch of JR
Cars
and picking up a new light bulb. Exactly. And eating a bag of chips. Yeah. Cracked it. It's interesting. From my own surveys on the employment front, 76% of small businesses are telling us in surveys that they're going to be hiring at least one more person next year. If that actually happens, that's 30,000 new jobs in Kent.
Yes, I mean, I think we've in our research it shows that in last year SMEs employed 16% of SMEs employed more people last year.
Yeah.
So that's a really good sign. Mm. But of course, that means there's quite a lot who weren't know, employing new people.
Yeah, sure.
There's quite a big proportion though who are expecting to employ more people this year. Mm. And again, that's a really good sign, isn't it? I think the thing that I find most interesting about the figures is that small businesses have really held on to their staff, even when they've been struggling to pay the wages, even when perhaps they haven't been making a profit or you know, their revenue's gone down.
Yeah.
And yet they're hanging on to their staff desperately and trying to find ways to pay them. And even now, just under a half say that they've got capacity, which for me means they're paying their staff and they're holding on to them, even though that's probably not economically that viable.
Yeah, sure.
Because actually, when you've got the right people, you don't want to lose them.
And absolutely.
It's difficult to then find them again later on when you're doing well. And that's where small businesses, I think, Paul, are so different from large businesses, because they will make a really, you know, sort of ruthless decision.
Hard-nosed,
because probably they have to. I don't know if they've got shareholders. Whereas I think the unemployment figures would have been much, much worse if it hadn't been for small businesses.
Without a doubt. And I think you're right, Sue. And what you're alluding to there really is the community spirit of people that run small businesses. You know, people that run small businesses don't see themselves as corporations that have to report to the city and keep their numbers up. Mm-hmm. You know, you can do all kinds of things when you own the business. But one of the things that the vast majority of small business owners do is care about the people that work for them and care about the community that they work in. And because you're much closer to everyone, I think there's that. And it's one of my pet rants. And actually, I do a talk about this as well. One of the things that has started to undermine the way that big businesses go about treating their customers is the advent of social media. Because until recently, most big organizations that you try to deal with have a faceless barrier, which is called an IVR system, an interactive voice response telephone system, that basically prevents you talking to anyone sensible in their organisation until they're ready to talk to you.
Is that the press 2, press 5?
Exactly.
It drives you mad.
It drives you mad. Whereas small businesses tend to be far more touchy-feely, far more in touch with their customers. Mm. Blimey, they're the kind of people you bump into in the pub. You meet your customers in the pub, on the golf course, every day. You can't afford to dismiss them and ignore them. And of course, with big businesses, they've been caught by this because now there's a way around their systems, which is for people to go onto social media and go, aren't so-and-so a bunch of rubbish? And then within 10 minutes, everybody's joined in with their stories and the company has to react.
And I think the other thing, if we were talking about those statistics, 46,000 businesses in Kent are micro-businesses, i.e. they employ less than 9 people. You know those 9 people really well.
Yeah, exactly.
It's very hard to get rid of somebody.
Absolutely.
When you know them so well and you know what effect that's going to have on their
life. And you know their family and everything. And quite often, in very small businesses, a lot of the people that are employed are relatives.
Yes,
exactly.
Try and get rid of your dad.
Exactly. Well, actually, no, don't go there.
Fair enough.
My son has a plan for that already, I think. But no, absolutely.
There's some other interesting statistics as well about the oil prices.
Right.
And again, one of the things we look at is, well, what is stopping you from growing as a small business? And much of it is sales. And that's why we're talking about restaurants and hotels. People are still worried that people aren't going to buy what they do, you know, aren't going to use their services. You know, that's a big worry. But actually, again and again, it's really quite annoying. Access to finance is coming up as a barrier to growth.
Right.
You know, I want to borrow more money to do more things, and actually I can't.
Right.
You know, I'm not being allowed to by the banks or whoever it is. So, you know, that's really annoying.
Mm.
We do hear about the bank base rate being 0.5%. But actually, our research shows that banks, if you want to go and borrow, you don't go and borrow at 0.5%.
No, it's nearer 7 to 9, isn't it?
I wish you could.
Yeah.
And you know, borrowing money is still actually quite expensive, not as expensive as it was 5 or 10 years ago. But even so, that doesn't help much.
Yeah. And also, I don't know what your findings are recently, but the last time I looked at this, it wasn't even so much the cost of borrowing, it was the availability of borrowing at any price, almost, you know, that for a lot of businesses, even if they were prepared to pay 7, 8, 9, 10% for their borrowing, they couldn't access the borrowing because our banks are spending far more time rebuilding their balance sheets and complying with government regulations than they are actually doing what they're supposed to do, which is to lend to business.
I mean, to be fair, I meet a lot of business relationship managers around Kent, of all the high street banks, and I actually feel sorry for them, Paul, because they used to be able to make a decision.
Yeah, no, I can't.
Because they knew their clients and they knew which ones, you know, could repay, and now they're not allowed to.
Yeah.
They have to go through this ridiculous, you know, long-winded thing, you know, the computer says no sort of thing.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, and they're as frustrated, to be fair, you know, as the business owners themselves.
Yeah, absolutely. It's happening far too slowly, but one of the things that is happening is the government are relaxing the rules on bank startups.
Yeah.
Because one of the things they realised is the problem that the banks and the politicians got us into was a vanishingly small number of mega banks who then had loan books that were just fantasy.
Toxic.
Yeah, they're just absolutely toxic. And they suddenly realised there was no diversity in the marketplace at all.
Mm.
So they have relaxed the rules on starting up banks. Mm. And we are now seeing, you know, people like Metro Bank, for instance, coming into the marketplace and operating boutique retail and commercial banks, Metro is a good example because they tend to focus specifically on retail customers and SMEs, and they don't touch big corporates and they don't do international banking.
Mm.
And you're seeing a number of those kind of things starting to find their place in the marketplace, and hopefully in the coming years, that will translate into a greater availability of loans and better relationships at a local level. But that's going to take time.
It is. I mean, the other really interesting finding, and actually we find this in Kent more than one, I think I have more people talking to me about this than anything
else.
So
this is specific to the Kent area, do you think?
It's across the country, but it's very specific in the Kent area. It's broadband.
Broadband, ugh.
Don't get me started on that.
And we did our own member survey in September around the whole of Kent, and 37%. Of our members said that was their top banana issue.
Yeah.
And the price of getting good broadband.
The thing that was driving them mad.
Well, from my point of view, though, it's not price sensitive. And really, I would pay a lot of money to have broadband that worked. Mm. At the moment, I pay quite a bit of money to have broadband that doesn't work.
Yeah,
I get 0.8.
The thing that they're saying is half of people are dissatisfied with the reliability because it keeps going in and out.
Yeah.
I get that. I live in Wye near Canterbury. I get that problem. 61% dissatisfied with the upload speed. So that's you sending something and it taking a long time.
Yeah.
And again, 60% really, really annoyed about the download speed. So you've found something you want and you're trying to download it on a computer and it takes God knows how long.
Absolutely.
But I mean, that's also happening in London. Even in London, I was reading in the Evening Standard, it's a huge problem right in the city.
Well, people don't really. I don't want to get on a soapbox about this, but it is one of my.
Pass the box.
We have a problem in this country where we still have a monopoly on telecommunications.
Yeah.
And people don't realise that just because we privatise BT and because there's a load of wholesalers in the marketplace, but the infrastructure is owned and operated by BT, and there is only one company that does it.
Mm.
And BT are. There are government things that say you have to do this and you have to do that and you have to do the other. But there's only one company. There is no competition.
Yeah.
And that's one of the problems. The government are forcing BT to roll out high-speed Infinity broadband across the country. And I had a conversation with some people from BT about this, and I said, too little, too late. You're trying to play catch-up now.
Yep.
What you should be doing now is leapfrogging. Because it's no good going back and retrospectively fitting what you were doing. And anyway, they're only providing fibre to the cabinet. I live in Tenterton. There's a DP cabinet outside my drive. It's on the pavement outside my drive, and it has an Infinity to it. But I can't get Infinity to my house the last 5 yards.
You can if you dig it up yourself.
If I dig it up myself...
Don't tell him that, because he will.
No, I know this. It's £35,000.
Yeah.
If I want to dig it up myself and lay a fibre cable the last 5 yards, because they can't be bothered to come and take the old cable down off the telegraph pole. Now, you know, you understand the logistics of that, but basically rolling out fibre now is too little too late, because the pattern of technology change is going mobile. Mm. What we should be doing is is investing in our mobile internet infrastructure, in my humble opinion, but that's another issue.
Well, the FSB have just commissioned a broadband report across Kent, and it's something that I'm leading on, and I find it really interesting because our members are desperate.
Yeah.
We've got an amazing boffin chap with a huge brain who knows about this stuff. So I'm really interested in his report, which is going to come out in May or June. Because
we love a boffin on this show.
Exactly. We'll explain the sorts of things about what you're talking about, Paul, and what can we do to solve it? Because I don't want 10 meg. I want 100 meg.
Yeah.
I want 1,000, you know. And we should be making our sites really, really far.
Yeah, because we're going to fill it up really quickly.
As you say, catch up. That's a load of rubbish.
Absolutely.
Don't want that.
And it's fascinating, isn't it? We're talking about rural broadband, but actually we're in the southeast of England, probably one of the richest areas in the world, less than 35 miles from central London, and you can actually get better connection in Uganda, and I know because I've got one.
Well, that's probably true.
Yeah.
What other issues are you finding in Kent, specific to Kent? Apart from broadband, transport,
business rates is obviously something that's key.
Mm.
Watch my head explode.
I'm going to swiftly move on from that because you'll have another rant. But if you look at Scoff and Quaff, and really, really important, keeping trade local, trying to trade between us, trying to use local suppliers as opposed to, you know, somebody from London or whatever. So if you can, you know. I know it's difficult, especially when you've got a family, you haven't got much time, but if you can use your local traders, please do so. It really helps the local economy.
Yeah, absolutely.
Can I just have a little bit of a thing about the FSB?
We'll ask for a pancake.
Yeah, of course.
No, I've had a pancake, of course, it's lovely. I know a lot of people think that perhaps, you know, membership organisations are a bit of a pain in the neck, but, you know, I really do think that people don't understand that the FSB, if you become a member, especially if you're one of those micro businesses, not that expensive, it covers you for an HMRC tax or VAT or PAYE investigation.
Yeah.
I don't know if anybody's had the horrendous misfortune to be through one of those. But to actually have insurance as part of your membership, it's completely part of the membership, and take you through that is really, really, it's just invaluable.
Absolutely.
We also got legal protection insurance, so if one of your staff do take you to an industrial tribunal, for instance, or something like that, you know, as a small business, you won't have that expertise internally, and you know, being a member does cover you off for that. But the thing I find it most useful for is we have about 200 or 300 documents on the website, which is fsb.org.uk, and on there is every single letter and every single contract you could possibly ever need.
Really? So you've got the templates?
All the templates, from you know, when you send out a job offer for somebody, to when you have to make somebody redundant, to, you know, sickness or whatever, and it's just invaluable.
I'm going to put it in slightly different terms. You've got to be seriously dumb to not be a member if you're a small business. You really have got to be seriously dumb. I mean, the average cost, because it's done on a number of employees, isn't it? But it's less than 200 quid for the vast majority of businesses out there. It's less than 200 quid to join the FSB. And you actually make that money back within half an hour of joining, basically, if you used a fraction of what they offer you. And that's without all the other benefits of belonging to an organisation like the FSB, who not only do all the things that Sue just told you, but it is also a networking organisation, it is also a connecting organisation, and it is also a campaigning organisation. If you've got issues that you're dealing with as a business and you want help, they will try to help you.
Yeah, I mean, if you're really struggling, as you were telling me about somebody the other day, Paul, who's really struggling with their local council.
Yeah, absolutely.
And he's a little minnow against that mite.
Yeah.
You know, join the FSB and they will take,
absolutely,
if it's a reasonable cause, they will take up that cause for you, so you're not on your own.
Yeah.
And we are a lobbying organisation.
Absolutely, And it doesn't mean to say that, you know, a small business is right all the time, but they will help you. They will, you know, if you've got an issue and the FSB go, well, you know, really, you're in the wrong here, they will help you handle that in the right way. Yeah. But I can't emphasise enough how important it is to get an organisation like the FSB on your side. And, you know, the benefits just... I can't see a drawback. I cannot see a single drawback. Even the cost is peanuts. Mm. But even if you didn't get anything for the membership money, it's still worthwhile. But when you look at what you get back, it's unbelievable.
I think I would like to see more people actually just emailing us, contacting us, going on the website and saying, I've got this problem, can you help me? And I don't think people realise they can do that.
Absolutely.
So please, if there's anybody out there struggling with something, go on the fsb.org.uk website, go onto the Kent page, and if we can help you, we will try.
Absolutely. And just for those people that don't know, the FSB in Kent and Medway have a number of events that they run across the county, of all kinds of different things that they do. Sue, just before Christmas, I represented the FSB on a panel, on a Question Time panel, talking about the new Ebbsfleet Garden City. So, you know, there's loads of those kind of things that we get involved in as well. There's conventional business-to-business networking. But the FSB have membership coordinators in every region of Kent, and they also have loads of business ambassadors. So there's loads of people that you can talk to, both informally as well as formally, that will help you with these kind of things. So, absolutely. So do find out about the FSB. Having said all of that, it is probably the most... the biggest business support organisation in the county as well, in terms of membership, I would have thought.
It's well over 6,000 members,
exactly.
But they're specifically SMEs, and I think SMEs have very particular problems and need the help.
Yeah, absolutely. So, again, it's something we could talk about forever, but we're kind of running out of time. I've got a couple of other pieces of FSB news that I'm going to read out now. For the moment, Sue Nelson of FSB Kent and Medway, thank you so much for joining us on the Business Bunker Show.
It's my pleasure as usual.
Cool. I've had an email from the office.